Good day, friends, and again I say, and I mean it when I say it, it's a real joy for me to sit down and just talk to you about the Savior. There's none like Him. There's none like Him. I'm not surprised when we read this 9th chapter of Acts, where Saul of Tarsus, who was a persecutor of Christians, a man whose heart was full of murder and threatenings, met the Savior face to face. He's never again the same. Oh, what a wonderful privilege to talk about one who loves sinners enough to die for them. For God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet active in our sins, Christ died for us. What a Savior He is. And it's a real joy for me to sit down and talk to you about Him, because He always and ever will be the one altogether lovely. He's a real Savior of men and women, irrespective of who they are or what they are or what they have done. He saves any and all who will come unto Him. In fact, here in this picture, we have given to us the experience of Saul of Tarsus, and I quote his own words when he said he was religious, he was a zealot for God. As far as the law was concerned, he was blameless. Yet, he himself said he was a blasphemer, that he was the chief of sinners. And I tell you, once you get a real glimpse of the Savior, then you see yourself as you really are. Now, we're in chapter 9, and we've been discussing this question of Saul of Tarsus meeting the Lord Jesus face to face. And the surprising thing was not that Saul heard from heaven. That wouldn't have been a surprise for him, because he was a zealot for God. But it was the one whom he met from heaven. I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Lord, what will you have me to do? And he's brought face to face with God. I repeat it, not his idea of God, but with God himself. And I say, sadly, it's true. A person can be conservative in theology, can be a very active church member, can be a zealot for God and for religious organizations, and yet never know the Lord personally. Oh, how wonderful it is to know the Savior. You know, some of the greatest lessons I ever learned about the reality of life in Christ was not learned in a seminary. Learned in sod shacks away up in northern Canada, homesteaders who knew the Savior, with walls of earth, see, just sod shacks. And to sit down with them when it's 20, 25, 30 below zero outside, just sit down, you're shut in with the Word of God, and to have some of these dear people who have never been to school, and sit at their feet and hear them talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. My, how the Spirit of God unveiled before them the beauties and the glories of the one who died to redeem sinners. I say again, once you see the Savior, His power, His love is irresistible. For the one who was hating Christians has been transformed. Now he's the Lord's man. I tell you, no wonder Paul is never again the same. No wonder he could say, one thing I do, forgetting the past, I'm going to stretch forth toward the prize for the mark of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's why when some of these false teachers went after Paul and said, who in the world is Paul? Who is Paul? He said to them, have I not seen the Lord? I tell you, no wonder he could say all things are lost just to know Him. Before he was saved, he was blind. Now, he sees Him face to face. I say again, this is no dream. This is a real, real business. Real, real thing. And now I find he's blind. When he opened his eyes, he couldn't see anybody. And they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And you remember, he had instructions in verse 6. Arise, go into the city. It shall be told you what you must do. So to the city he went. Verse 9. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. You see, there were many there in Damascus waiting for him to lead them in the persecution of Christians. And I might add, there were many Christians in Damascus waiting for the persecutions. And when they heard that Saul of Tarsus was coming, I'm telling you, they just quivered. He was well known for his hatred for Christianity. And now let's go on, verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight. Inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Now, what do you think Saul of Tarsus was doing in those 3 days when he didn't eat or drink? He was praying, he was fasting. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered the Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind every one who calls upon the name of Jesus. But the Lord said to him, Ananias, go your way. He is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way. I'm glad for his obedience. And he entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive your sight, and be filled with the Spirit of God. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose, and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Let me just stop right here. I didn't spend much time here, just following the incident through. But I can understand this man Ananias when the Lord said, I want you to go down to a street called Straight and call for one Simon of Tarsus. Behold, he prayeth. And Ananias said, Wait a minute, Lord. Just you wait a minute, Lord. And this fellow Saul of Tarsus, he's a terror. He's come up here with power and authority to put us all in jail. You don't want to go and see that man, do you? Don't you know about all the evil he's done to your people in Jerusalem? Why, he's even here now with the authority of the priests and the Sanhedrin behind him, but to every one of us in jail. And the Lord says, Go your way. He's a chosen vessel unto me. And so on and so forth. You know, behold, he prayeth. I can't get away from that. From a persecutor of Christians to one praying. Do you know, I like that verse in Isaiah, A broken and a contrite heart, O Lord, thou wilt not despise. Find that in Psalm 51, and you find it also, I believe, in Isaiah chapter 66. What a time for heart searching. What transformation. You see, he could say, Saul could say, I've been fighting God, but he received me. See, now it's no longer Saul, but Christ. No wonder later on we read of his passion for Christ. As 2 Corinthians 5:14, when he said, The love of Christ overmasters me, because we thus judge if one died for all, then we're all dead. That he died, that they which live should no longer live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them, and rose again. You see, you needn't be afraid of somebody who spends time in the presence of God in prayer. Behold, he prayeth. But Lord, don't you know about that fella? Yes, but listen, Ananias, behold, he prayeth. You need never be afraid of a man who comes before God in reality to pray. The trouble is, too few pray. I'm not surprised at this. He'd met the Savior face to face, and now he's 3 days neither eating nor drinking. What do you think he's doing? Why, he's praying. What do you mean, praying? He's having 3 days with the Lord. He's met the Lord face to face. And I'm sure there was a great deal of confession on Saul of Tarsus' part. I'm sure he was rejoicing in the fact that he had been cleansed from his sin, cleansed from his murderous spirit, cleansed from his fleshly zeal. He had met the Lord face to face, and behold, he prayed. And even though Ananias was, I'm sure he must have been scared. But you know, when the Lord said, behold, he prayeth. You know, you can't put people in prison when you're praying. You can't fight your brother when you're praying. You won't make trouble for others when you're praying. Behold, he prayeth. I'm talking about genuine prayer, not just saying prayers. I feel very sure that these 3 days that Saul didn't eat or drink, when he fasted those 3 days, I'm sure he was spending the whole time in the presence of the Lord who had met him on the road to Damascus. He could say, Lord, what will you have me to do? Wonderful thing. Now, he said, go your way. The Lord speaking out to Ananias, you go your way. He's a chosen vessel unto me. I've chosen him to bear my name to the Gentiles, so forth, so on. He's a chosen vessel. Do you remember in the book of Galatians chapter 1, about verses 15 to 16, where the Apostle Paul speaks of the fact that he was chosen from his mother's womb to declare Christ to others? Amazing thing, this. Chosen from his mother's womb by the Lord to be a chosen vessel to give forth the word of life. Do you remember that? A chosen vessel. Galatians 1, 15 and 16. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither did I go to Jerusalem to be with the apostles. I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. And after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and I abode with him 15 days. You see, a chosen vessel. I'm always amazed at the kind of people God picks up and uses. Not many mighty men after the flesh are called, not many noble. He takes the things that are nothing to confound the things that are, that no flesh shall glory in his presence. Here's a man transformed from a bitter enemy into a chosen vessel of the Lord. Marvelous thing. Now, will you notice something else about it? In verses 20 to 22, and straightway, after he had been, in verse 17, where Ananias went in to see him, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that you might receive your sight, be filled with the Spirit of God. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. When Ananias obeyed the Lord, then the God moved in. And the result was that Ananias and Saul of Tarsus, these two were from the farthest ends of the earth. That is, from the farthest ends of the poles. Ananias, a man loving the Savior. Saul, a persecutor of those who loved the Savior. Now they're brought together, both transformed men, from sinners into saints, and now become real workers together for God. And now from verse 20 to 22, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he was the Son of God. And all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Jerusalem, at Damascus, proving that he was very Christ. I want to stop here for a moment. You see, it's an amazing thing. He is a man who receives the Spirit of God, is baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, becomes a flaming evangel for the Savior. This is what God does with people. You see, friend, and let me be very clear, the moment a person accepts the Lord Jesus Christ, he's transformed. The Spirit of God comes to indwell him. For everyone who receives the Lord Jesus Christ also receives the Spirit of God. In fact, Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says, If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Or you take Romans 5:5, and the love of God has been shed abroad by the Spirit of God, which has been given to him, not which he prayed for, which was given to him when, the moment he accepted the Savior. Now you take John 7:37-39, this verse we quoted here the other day. At that last great day of the feast, the Lord said, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Every one of them. Spirit was not yet given because he was not yet glorified. 1 Corinthians 12:13, we've all been baptized by one Spirit into one body and have all been made to drink of that self-same Spirit. You see, the moment you're saved, this is what takes place. And then you find where he was baptized by Ananias in the name of the Lord Jesus. He was openly demonstrating, witnessing to the fact of his union with the one whom he had hated before. This was a tremendous thing. No, I'm sorry to say today that water baptism in many quarters is just a mere rite to join a church. It meant a great deal in this day, the day which I'm talking. For a Jew to be baptized in the name of the one whom had become an accursed thing on a cross, one who had been despised and rejected of men, to accept him as Savior, as Lord, I tell you, meant a great thing. To be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus was a real testimony. And he was a chosen vessel unto God. I'm reminded of those verses in Acts 26:16-18, where Paul himself, in giving his testimony, said that the Lord called him, what for? To be a witness, to open blind eyes, to turn men from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, and so forth and so on. And again I say, from a bitter enemy to a chosen vessel. And notice in verses 20 on, you have his ministry. His first message, what is it? He preached straightway in the synagogue. He preached Christ, the Son of God. That took boldness to go right into the synagogue. Remember, they expected Saul of Tarsus to come to persecute the Christians, to persecute these who followed Jesus. And the man was so filled with the Spirit of God, he went right down into the synagogue and declared to the Jews who were there that this Jesus is the Son of God, that this Christ is the Son of God. And they were all amazed, that is, those who heard him, and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came here with that intent to put the Christians in prison, that he might bring them bound to the high priest? Is this the same man? What in the world has happened to him? Ah, he met Jesus. My friend, have you met Jesus? He wants to meet you. I'm not asking you what church you belong to. I'm not opposed to that. I'm not asking you what you believe about water baptism. I'm not opposed to that. The thing that I'm concerned about is, have you met Jesus? Is he your Savior? Is it real? And does the love of Christ overmaster you? Are you in love with him? This man, Saul of Tarsus, had met the Savior, and he went right boldly down into the synagogue and preached that Christ was the Son of God. And they were amazed. Is this the same fellow? Why, what's taken place? What's happened to him? I tell you, it must have been a tremendous thing. And I read in verse 22, But Saul increased the more in strength. The more he prayed, the stronger he became. And he confounded the Jews which dwelt at Jerusalem, at Damascus, pardon me, proving that this is the very Christ. He just stood there and confounded the leaders of the synagogues and of the Jews in Damascus, proving that Jesus is the Son of God, proving that the Christ is the Son of God. You remember Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he proved that this Jesus was Lord and Christ. Now Saul of Tarsus said he's the Son of God. And with great boldness he proclaimed the precious, wonderful message of redeeming love. My friend, again, I ask you the question. Have you met Jesus? I can't help but ask that question, because I know there are a great many people possibly listening into this program, and you're precious people, and you're moral, you live good lives, and you're religious, you're zealous for God, possibly. The question I raise, have you met Jesus? Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? Could you say with Saul of Tarsus, Lord, what will you have me to do? Not ask the church what the church wants you to do, or somebody else what you want to do, or what you want to do yourself. Are you so close to the Lord, you can say, Lord Jesus, what will you have me to do? I'm in your hands. Use me to your praise and to your glory. May that be your joy. May that be your blessing today. And the Lord bless you for his name's sake.